Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome. You're with Floyd D. Harris Jr. We are here live. It's been a long day for me. Oh my God, has it been long? But we are here. And we're going to have a good show tonight. We are going to have a lot of callers calling in, hopefully. We had a good show the other night with the different people on the live stream. I really appreciate you calling in. It was really fun, tell you the truth. I mean, we had a lot of people tuning in. You know, I forgot to put my sign up behind me. Oh my goodness. Well, we'll do it next time. But anyway, y'all know I'm running for mayor, Fresno. And it's exciting to be a servant. You know, Sister Eileen always talked to me about, and she's the first person I ever heard say this about, hey, Linda, how are you? Thank you for coming on. Appreciate you last night, or the day before. I'm so tired. I don't know what day it was, but thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you. We love you. Love your spirit and your support. What was I saying? I forgot what I was saying that quick. Hey, Kimberly. And so anyway, you know, we had a great show the other night. You know, this is January. See, I had my daishiki on. Just let me just say this, because a lot of people really don't understand that Black history is not just January and February. It's 365 days out the year. It was last night. Okay. All right. I was so tired. I don't know what it was. It was last night or the night before. I've been working hard all week, you know, and I'm just like exhausted, but I want to come back on the show. Hey, Wendy, I want to come back on the show tonight. The calling number is 516-387-1464. But I want to give some shout-outs to Uncle Bobby and the Oscar Grant Foundation down in Oakland. Good brother, I know you worked with me when I started the Civil Rights Movement down in Vallejo. Young brother was shot 37 times in front of his house, and I started a movement there in Vallejo. You can go to YouTube and put in Reverend Harris Vallejo, and you'll see the stuff that we helped that community with. I haven't been back in years. I need to go back and visit. But it was just a blessing to now I know what I was gonna say. Servitude. Eileen is the only person that I know that talks about servitude. What is servitude? What is a servant, first of all? Who is that there? Someone named Honey. Thank you for tuning in. Marlene, thank you for tuning in. Servitude. What is servitude? I mean, have we really gotten away from... Well, let's define what a leader is. Can someone type and tell me what your perspective is? What is a leader? And then a leader, I think, will take us into what servitude is, if anyone can talk to us about that right now. What is a leader? Is a leader someone that tells everybody what to do? Is a leader someone that leads by example? Is a leader someone that knows how to bring people together who disagree to agree? Is a leader someone who's always just giving directions? What is a leader from your perspective? Because I think we've lost the fiber of what a leader is in this 21st century generation. Many of you know that I founded the Fresno Freedom School. We've been existing for about 9 years. We teach kids how to farm. And, you know, the history of the Freedom School is that, you know, I started by myself. And it was just me and about 7, 8, 10 kids for about 3 years. And, you know, when I tell people the story about the Freedom School, it was like, you know, I had to put some skin in the game. All of the above. Okay, all right. Thank you, man. And I had to be dedicated to this process of these children. And I don't really see a lot of dedication. I think leaders, if you self-appoint yourself or if you're committed to them, I think that leaders today think that the people are supposed to serve them, not the leaders serving the people. So I have a different philosophy than most people when it comes to, you know, leadership. You know, leading is not about being liked. It's about being respected. Hey, Kevin, it's about being respected. A leader is someone that can know how to motivate someone who may be down or someone who may not understand. A leader is someone who can be able to, hey, Russian, bless her. A leader is someone that can have patience with people and be able to pull, to encourage them to do better and able to pull out that positive that's in them. Hey, Kathy, good to see you today. And so I just think that it's important that we really start defining. Matter of fact, do me a favor. Can you get my sign outside?
On the yard?
Yeah, just pull one of them up. I forgot to put it up here on the wall. So I want to make sure people see. Hey, family. And so, you know, I just think that the word leadership has really is not defined. It's not defined to the standpoint to where y'all excuse me, I'm gonna put my pull it out of there. Thank you. All right, y'all. Excuse me. I should have had this up earlier, but I was rushing and stuff. But I want to make sure that this is my studio, y'all. This is my studio, okay? All right, this is my studio. So we're gonna. This is my studio. Okay, there we go. All right. That's a little crooked, but that'll work. It won't fall down. Right, Jackson? So, you know, I think we really need to spend some time, and I need to have some shows on what is leadership. I mean, what are the qualities? What is the characteristics? What is the discipline? What is what? Hey, man, that's right, girl. From the Bay Area. All right, from the Bay. That's right. Y'all tell them about Harris, my stumping ground down there. Oscar Grant. All them. They was at the BART station the other day, Kathy. So, you know, so what happens is, and we're going to get into our show. I don't even know how I got talking about leadership. But I think that our children right now is really searching for strong leadership, genuine leadership, leadership that won't break. You know, leadership that's going to speak truth to power, leadership that is going to be, You know, as I tell people, that it's important that we be a woman and we be a man of our word. Because if we don't be a woman and man of our word, then we're, okay, all right, let me see. Someone is calling it. All right. Welcome to the show. Are you there? Okay. All right. I see you there. You don't have to say nothing. Just tune in. I see you. Just want to acknowledge you. But let me go ahead and acknowledge those that's on the line right now. Okay. Yes, sir. That would be good to have. Leaders are meant to serve the people. Thank you for all you do, Rev, for our community. You know what? Thank you. Thank you for allowing me. You know, I mean, you know, 40-something years, my grandma just died. And, you know, the holidays were tough for me because it was the first holiday that we didn't have her. And I blame her for who I am today, in a good way. Hey, Teresa. Hey, Pamela. And so anyway, I don't want to get into all that sobbing stuff. Y'all going to make me start crying and stuff. And I ain't going to be good. See, a grown man cry, okay? Ain't going to be crying on my show, right, y'all? But let me just click some more people in, and I'm going to say we're going to get into the show. We have 3366, 3366, welcome to the show. Hello, how are you doing today?
Hi, good. Thank you.
You know, people made me talk about my grandma, and it's having me start boo-hooing on the show, and I told them I might stop talking about my grandma.
Yeah, she raised you a fight. A good fight.
Oh, well, just
not
trying
to cry.
I'm just acknowledging everybody on the show. We got people on the live stream. We got people all the way from Sister Kathy, from all the way from the Bay Area. We got, I believe, Sister Linda from North Carolina. Just love you. I got Sister Teresa. There's many, many people. Pamela on the line. Let me see. 3714, welcome to the show. Hello, how you doing today? 3714, okay. We'll just leave them on for a second. Maybe they'll talk to me. One of the things that I keep talking about leadership is because leadership can make a community strong. Yes, North Carolina. All right, Linda. Willow, North Carolina in the house. Got North Carolina in the house. Oakland in the house. Who else is in the house? Tell me what state y'all from. I know we had my cousin Sean from Colorado in the house last night. But y'all just tell me. We got Crystal in the house. Crystal from Mississippi, Fresno. Crystal, revolutionary. All right. Got her on the line. You know, all y'all revolutionaries. You know, you come on my show, you automatically a revolutionary. You know what? You come on my show, you just graduate as a revolutionary, all right? Yeah, you just graduate. Just to come on my show, you're a revolutionary, all right? But let me finish this thing about leadership, because I think what's happening right now in the country. You know, I've been reading a lot of stuff on Facebook, and I'm very, very concerned about the direction we're going. I think Crystal told me today that Trump made a decision to go kill someone in another country, or a captain, or I couldn't get, I was working at the same time. Maybe somebody can type and tell me what that was about, that he ordered someone to be killed. Love seeing, Marnie said, love seeing your positive posts. Keep up the great work. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. I honor all of you. Thank you for allowing me to even serve. You know, you can go tell me to sit down somewhere. Like, Harris, go sit down somewhere, okay? We're wasting our time. But you don't say that. You give me an opportunity to speak for our children, our people. I put my life on the line. My life is on the line every day. And a lot of people really don't know what that means. But let me get back to this leadership piece. I keep bouncing off of it. Because I think what's happening is that the community is looking for positive, strong leadership. Okay? And what I'm saying is that we are in the 21st century, moving into the 30th century, okay, that we're going to have to start doing things different now, okay? We just cannot afford, hey, Alexander, we just cannot afford to just keep being numb. I mean, hey, what's up, Glenn? I mean, we just can't afford to be numb no more. I mean, I look at our Black community here in Fresno. We're just numb as I don't know what. And I'm saying, our ancestors, our grandparents did so much work for us to be where we are. We have dropped the ball, and we're not involved. We're not speaking up. We're not demanding things in our community. You know, I don't like this. I don't like that. I want this change. I want that change. And you have a right to do that, but we're just so, hey, Stephanie, I don't want to sound negative. So I'm trying to keep it on a positive note, like our sister said. But it's heartbreaking to me because I could see we could be doing so much more if we would just come together. See, someone told me today to see, you know, we got everybody want to be the chief. But we don't have no Indians. Everybody can't be the chief. Listen, a good leader know how to be a good follower. Why? Because in order to be a leader, you know what a follower goes through. But see, we have people today, just like in ministry, just like in church. You know, oh, you see that woman or man up there, they throwing it down. You know, everybody in the congregation, you know. You know, blah, you know, da 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 da. The Black and Latino community always get forgotten in the Central Valley. That is true. We have to make people make. See, power is not given. Power is taken. We have to take what's ours, okay? We have to take what's ours, see? And so the system today, like, see, this is what I teach. Those in government work for you. A police officer works for you. You're the employer of that police officer that's out driving the street. You pay for the gas for that car. You buy that car. You buy his bullets. You buy his gun. You pay his salary. You pay for his vacation. You pay for his kids to go to college. See the power you have as a citizen, but we don't utilize our power because those in government want to make us feel that we have to bow down to them. That's what I'm saying tonight, y'all. You have the power. You always have the power, okay? And don't ever forget that. See, people in government don't like me because they know I know, and they know that I'm not scared of them, okay? All right? So you have no reason to fear no one in government, all right? We want things first class. So I'm going to have a show on leadership. I think we need to. Do y'all think we need to have a show on leadership? Y'all give me thumbs up if y'all do. And we're going to have a show on leadership if y'all feel we need to have a show on leadership. I think we do. So, doing my hands like this, warming them up, because we're getting ready to jump into this show here. I know, I'm crazy. I know. I like to have fun, okay. All right, so we have some folks on the line. Let me go back to 3714. Let me see if they're there. 3714, are you there with us, 3714? 3714, are you there with us? Maybe they just listening. Okay. All right. So I think we have 3366 on the line. Are you there?
Yes.
All right. Would you be kind enough, you know, today's topic. So let me just read what today's topic is. And I know that they're listening to our show tonight. And I really don't care. I'm glad they're listening. Fresno residents tell it like it is. We have a DA named Andrew Jans who is running for mayor of Fresno. I believe he ran against, was it Nunes? Or who did he run against for Congress last year? Or
Devin.
Who?
Devin Nunes.
Okay, he ran against Devin Nunes, raised a lot of money, came close, but he lost. Now he wants to run for mayor of Fresno. And he works for the district attorney office. So when I posted this today, I was very intentional. And I knew what I was doing before I did it. And I received some messages from some good colleagues, which, you know, telling me that, you know, kind of what I posted was wrong, that, you know, Andrew Jan do not arrest police. And I know that. I know he doesn't arrest police. But he's inside of an institution that has not been just to black and brown people. It has not been just to our community that he serves. So, for instance, Chief Dyer, when he was the chief of police. Hey, doing my hands like this again. We're getting ready to get into this thing. We're getting ready to jump in this. I'm feeling it. Chief Dyer, who was the chief of police, who decided he's going to run for mayor too, is a very powerful man. I'm just going to put that disclaimer out there. In the public's eye, he feels that he's powerful. And the reality is, in some cases, he is, because he has a lot of influence. He has all the district attorneys on his side. He has judges on speed dial. He can do search warrants. He has over a 1,200 police force. He has a SWAT team. He's connected into Homeland Security. He's connected into the law enforcement agency, Homeland Security, the ATF, FBI. He's connected to all that. He has had two or three helicopters, motorcycle cops, informants that come out and snitch on us, whatever they do. And so he's bought off a lot of black pastors in the community. I'm just going to tell it like it is. He's bought off a lot of black organizations in the community. And what's interesting to me is that how Chief Dyer could endorse the district attorney, Smith Camp, which when there's a police shooting that happens, Smith Camp supposed to investigate the police shootings. Now, let me stop right there. Here you are as a civilian. Your son just got shot, unarmed, no gun. Chief Dyer, who already endorsed the district attorney, and now the district attorney has now endorsed him for mayor. So it looks like there's a lot of back scratching going on right now. So now, how can we as a community trust either agency right now? Because they are running amok. They're running amok. They're in cahoots with one another. They're covering each other's bases right now. So here you are as a citizen. You want justice, but how are you going to get justice in a process that's already contaminated politically while the chief and the district attorney office is holding hand in hand? Now, you say, well, where do Andrew Jans fit in this? Well, simple. He works for the DA. Smith Kemp is the head DA. He works in some probably lower level or somewhere in the DA office. What bothers me with this whole process is it stinks. It stinks. And people think that as black people that we're supposed to go and vote for a DA that's prosecuting our children. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I know cases right now. Let me back up. In order for a district attorney to even try your son or daughter, there has to be contact with law enforcement. So law enforcement means chief dial police officers. All right, they come in contact with your child or family member. Now, your family member is arrested, booked in the county jail. Now, the police officer now has to write something called a police report. Now, listen to what I'm telling you tonight. Because, see, nobody's going to tell y'all the truth. The police now has to write a police report.
Yeah?
About.
Okay, thank you.
About what has happened in this situation with your son or daughter or loved one. So the police officer writes the police report. It's his word against your loved one word. And this is real stuff I'm telling you. Now, the police officer now gives it to who? He gives it to a detective. The detective now turns around, looks at it, read it, depending on the circumstances of your loved one, please don't have no gang language nowhere around your loved one, because I'm going to use the word gang member, affiliated, friends, whatever. They're going to run your loved one in the dirt. So now the DA takes the information and he hands it over to who? The district attorney office. Now, the district attorney office, what they do is they go and they try to, you know, find laws and that fix this person. Crime. So what happens to our people in this process? They then has to do what? Because a lot of us can't afford an attorney. We have to do what? Get a public defender. The public defender, they're so overwhelmed with cases. The first thing they say is, take a deal. Man, look, they're gonna take you to trial. You're looking at 25 to life. But I didn't do it. Listen, you're going to do 25 to life. All you got to do is do 10 years, and you don't have to take it to trial. Why take it to trial? You'll be able to see your kid in 10 years versus trying to take it to trial and get 25 to life. This is what's being told to our children when they go into this kangaroo courthouse, okay? Now, Andrew Jans, he's real big on prosecuting people. He's real big on that. I went to his Facebook or website, and he's proud. That's what he do. That's what he do. He arrests people. So here we have people. I mean, he put people in prison. We have Dyer who arrests. Andrew Jans' department, the DA, puts us in prison. Now, I know cases right now where Fresno PD have planted guns on black children in West Fresno. Dyer has already said, willfully, openly, that we had a group of Berkeley students came down here and did an extensive research on our police department. And Dyer said, out of his mouth, and I can show it to you, he said, yes, I profile black people. He said, yes, I do profile them. Wait a minute. It's illegal to profile people, anybody. But how can you profile black people and think it's okay? Now, we're going to get into the show. We're going to go to 3366. You with Harris running for mayor of Fresno? We want to talk about statistics. We want to talk about our show. Let me read what's on the screen, and I'm going to bring her in. There have been numerous unsolved murders of people of color in Fresno. Some are the result of gang violence, mistaken identity, domestic, and others by those who swore to protect and serve. What about those who've been murdered without just cause by police officers? The fourth leading cause of death for black males is by the hands of officers. Let me read that again. The fourth leading cause of death for black males is by the hands of officers. In Fresno, 146 police-involved deaths occurred between 2001 and 2018. It has cost Fresno taxpayers $30 million in lawsuits. Okay, let me wipe my eyes again because maybe I didn't see that right. In Fresno, 146 police-involved deaths occurred between 2001 and 2018. Okay, 2001-2018. It has cost Fresno taxpayers $30 million in lawsuits. Does our DA have a responsibility to prosecute? That's a good question. Does our DA, District Attorney Office of Fresno County, have a responsibility to prosecute police who commit murder? If so, why haven't any been prosecuted? Can we trust Jan or Dyer? It's another good question. A corrupted system where killings go free? This type of leadership has caused the city to be even more divided as the current power structure has proven time and time again that black lives and brown lives, young lives, and our most vulnerable lives do not matter to them. We're going to stop right there. We're going to bring our caller in, 3366. Welcome to the show tonight.
Hi.
Well, the screen is lit up like a Christmas tree. I mean, we got people. Hey, Linda, how you doing, Linda? All right. Antoinette. Yeah. All right. Just want to just acknowledge y'all. Appreciate y'all staying. Linda from North Carolina, she stays on for the whole show. It's a three-hour difference right now and North Carolina, and she stays on the show. Talk to us about what's going on in Fresno District Attorney Office and our police department. Both of these two men are running for mayor of Fresno.
Yes, what part do you want me to talk about?
Hey, we got Sharon Harris all the way from Colorado, Melbourne. We got the whole United States on the line on the show tonight. You can start wherever you want to start it. I don't care. fired up right now. I'm about ready to go outside in March with my bullhorn. It's cold. It's about 40 degrees outside.
Well, I want to go back to your question about leadership. You know, what makes good leadership? And, you know, part of a good leader is being able to get people with different skill sets to work together for one common goal. And I don't believe that we've had that in a Fresno mayor since I can remember. and we need that back, because it's like they want to make two teams out of Fresno instead of one team. You know, okay, we're going to make a team over here, and we're just going to develop them, and, you know, we're going to leave the second string out because we won't ever need them. You know, that's almost the feeling of how the leadership has gone in Fresno. And the question about Jans and Dyer, you know, are they qualified to lead the city? Well, just those statistics right there alone, to me, speaks to both of them and their leadership.
You're not talking about the 30 you're not talking about the $30 million
39 unsolved murders.
You're not talking about the 30 million in lawsuits. Oh, you are talking about
30 million in lawsuits.
I just want to make sure. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, a police chief that under his watch, you get $30 million in lawsuits over your career. I mean, you should be out of there. You're not a asset to the city. You're a liability. You work any other place, you can be the top dog. But once you become more of a liability and you lose their money as opposed to gaining them money and prestige, then that's usually the exit ticket. They'll find a way to get you out of there. So that makes me question, like, why would the city continue to pay for a police chief that started to really prove that he was a liability, and his department and his officers were reckless in many cases and should have been prosecuted? And then, like you mentioned earlier, then you have Smith Camp, you know, the top DA who is endorsing the chief of police. You know, there's too many people in bed together. You know, it's just really messy, and it threw up a lot of red flags. And honestly, the only people that are being fooled by this are the people that are paid off, don't want to know, don't know, or in cahoots with them, or have something to gain from them. And I don't know, you know, as a prosecutor, I would just think that Jans would really be laying out his whole case about Jerry Dyer, or any of the people running for mayor, of, you know, hey, this is the case against him, why you shouldn't vote for him. But instead, we got Jans almost acting like kumbaya and acting like, you know, quote, you know, the better half of Jerry Dyer. You know, I keep saying they're two sides of the same coins, but I'm starting to think that Jans is acting more as his better half. Like, you know, I don't want to, you know, put them down in any kind of character defamation type of way, but why isn't he making this case against him? And why is he like, oh, when for example, when the billboard, Dyer's messy, tacky billboards got defaced, and how Jans was like, oh, you know, they shouldn't have done that. Why do you care that they did that? Because somebody got out there and wrote what they felt their truth was about him, and what a lot of documents, you know, raised red flags and suspicion surrounding Jerry Dyer and allegations about what he's done. in his past, why would you even chime in? Why would you say, you know, Jerry Dodd-Camp got to take care of that? So they're just a little too friendly. I'm not saying you have to be enemies and want to fight and slice each other up, but you're a little too cozy for comfort. And Fresno got a lot of things to work on. And I know you're going to talk about, you know, unsolved murders. You know, there were 39 unsolved murders in 2016. Five of those murders were left over unsolved from 2015, where 40 murders had occurred unsolved. So we just got this history of just, you know, killers getting away, including cops. And a prosecution, you know, that's now running for to lead the city. Lead it what? Further into corruptness?
Well, you know, Fresno...
That's my thought.
You know, Fresno has a history of being corrupt. We had Operation Rezone, where we had city council members who were taking bribes under the table for developments. We have just within our police department, deputy chiefs had sued Dyer for defamation of character. Hey, sir. And there was defamation of character, a hostile environment. Then we talk about the piece of former deputy chief Keith Foster, who was alleged by the FBI saying that he was selling some type of narcotics in the community, right up under Dyer nose. And that right there really said something to me, how your second person in command under you for many, many years, you guys went to the academy together, you pulled them up through the ranks to be up under you. The FBI said they had information about your deputy chief, right-hand man, doing illegal activity. It went to court. They had phone taps and this, and that. But then I'm saying, you're with this guy more than you're with your wife. And you mean to tell me you didn't know what your deputy chief officer was doing all that time, being under surveillance, and you didn't know? And then I just don't blame Dyer. I blame the city council, because the city council had the power to put pressure on the mayor to get rid of Dyer. But no, you know what it is? I'm a born-again Christian. God has forgiven me for all my sins. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So if you're going to constantly put down people who make bad choices, bad decisions, but when you make a bad choice, you make a bad decision, it's forgotten. It's, you know, no one can say anything about your sins, but you can just blast everyone else's sins. So it's really a town that's Fresno is really a town that the world is watching right now. The world is watching this mayor race, because they're going to see, you know, will Fresno put a chief of police? And you just read the statistics, $30 million in lawsuits. $30 million in lawsuits. He had corruption right up on his nose in his police department. Is Fresno really ready to put someone like that as the chief and staff of this city? I mean, where do the character and integrity come in at?
Well, you had talked once about just not too long ago about what you would do as mayor when it came to hiring a chief of police. Do you want to like expand on what you talk about with that? Because well, that's where it starts on how we select the chief.
I think, first of all, once again, this city lied to the taxpayers. When Dyer said he was going to step down, they said they were going to do a nationwide search for a chief of police. everybody's like, okay, we're not going to deal with this good old boy system we have in Fresno. So everybody's on the edge of their seats and, you know, saying, okay, well, you know, I believe they put some type of committee together. You know, you darn right I was. They didn't put me on the committee. I'm pretty sure they didn't put you on the committee or anybody around us on the committee for the new chief of police. And next thing we know, they hire someone from within the department. The good old boy system, again, in Fresno. So I said, once I'm elected mayor, you best assure that the chief of police, there will be a nationwide search. There will be community members on the task force to select, to be able to question those who apply for Fresno chief of police and the city council. I will want them to put someone on this task force. Well, it's grassroots people in the community on the task force. And also not to exclude, but to include our youth to be on the task force as well, since they're the ones that's most hunted in this community. Number two, whoever becomes the chief of police up under the Harris administration, number two, you will not endorse no political person in this city. That's not your job to do that. Your job is to protect and serve, to make this community safe, to make people, not make people trust the police department, but work with the people in the community to make our community better. But you would not be going out here like Dyer and Jan and Smith Camp and all these political people and signing your name as chief of police, talking about I endorse this person, I endorse this person. Oh, I'm gonna endorse this person running for city council. You know why? I'm gonna endorse as chief of police. I'm gonna go ahead and endorse District 5 or 6 who's running for city council, because when budget time come around, don't forget who endorsed you, city council. So please sign the check and give me my money. See, that's the back-scratching political mess that's going on in Fresno. So, yes, we do have a plan. And, yes, we will have check-ins. See, and like I said, Fresno is just a corrupt town. Fresno has people that should be saying something. They're as quiet as a church mouse right now. Bought,
right,
paid, and laid, sealed, and mailed in the envelope. So we're going to go to the lines here real quick. We have some people. I'm trying to see. Let me see if they're just listening or give me a second, y'all. Trying to work. Trying to get so many people on the line right now. Hold on. 5172. 5172,
yes.
Are you with us?
Yes.
Hey.
Yes, I am. Hey, I have been listening and following the mayor's race, and I want to know how it is that Dyer has so much Teflon on him, that all of the corruption just seems to roll off, the sex with minors, the lawsuits that were brought by his own officer, Sharon Schaefer and others, the so-called friend of his who killed himself not 200 yards from Dyer's front door. All these things that should speak to his character, and still he's being endorsed by all these big wigs in Fresno. And I want to find out, how is it that they think that this man who voted against Measure P, that would have been good for all of the children in Fresno, and especially those in the Southeast and Southwest, how he could go against that measure? He has no vision for the future. He has a strong man, tough guy kind of approach to everything. So he's going to bring that history of policing to the mayor's office. We don't need an executive in office who is going to be a cop. We need a mayor who's going to look out for all of us. And I just don't think that he can do it. And I also want to know, how is it? And this is no, I don't want to cast any aspersions on our mom, brothers, and sisters. And I'm glad that they were able to make some arrests and the mass shooting that happened during the holidays. But how was it that Fresno PD could find these people within 2 weeks, and we have all these unsolved murders of black and brown people in Fresno? I just want to leave that out there.
Well, let me jump on that first, because I think that's a great point. We're supportive of our Hmong community. I have a lot of Hmong friends, and my supervisor is Hmong. I was also told that one of those that were killed was his relative. That's the truth. And so I didn't know that till I spoke with him. But I think that the difference between the Hmong community and the African-American community here really relies on one thing, is that, and what I feel that it lies on, is that they vote. Now, I was told from a liable colleague that when they had the visual for the Hmong brother that died, that Dyer was there. I was also told that Jan was there as well. And like I said, that comes from a third party. I didn't see it. I'm just saying what I was told. But you bring up a good point, because if you look at the voting piece with African American versus the Hmong community, I could tell you this, they outvote us 10-1.
Wow.
Okay. So what happens is that when you're in the politics, you don't look at the race, you look at the numbers.
Mm.
And then behind the numbers come the race. Of ethnic, I'm going to use ethnic of people, not race, ethnic of people. And so whoever has that large number, which the Hmongs do, and they have money, and they have their own businesses, they have their own empire, they own big sections of shopping centers. So they're someone to be reckoned with when it comes to the political piece. So yes, they will Lee Brand and the police department would cater to them, while we as black people, right, our murders goes unsolved. Case in point, look at our sister who, what is her name? Cheryl and
Cheryl Riggins Sumlin.
Look what happened to their family. Her niece was gunned down.
Her
granddaughter was gunned down. I believe her nephew was gunned down too. I don't believe they found the killer for them. So there's a lot of unsolved murders, right? And it's easy to just keep saying, oh, it's gang related. It's gang related. No, we want the killer. That's
right.
Who we want. Just like you went after the Hmong, to the Hmong community, you found the killer.
Right.
But see, you don't find the killers in the black community. You just let them go free to go kill someone else.
Right.
And then go kill someone else. And then go kill someone else. While the other communities, you solve it right then, there on the spot. So when it comes to black people getting our tax dollars being utilized for what we paid for, we got a blank check here, sister. We got a blank check.
Wow. That's criminal. You know, I just want to add something, and I can't verify this or not, but I'm wondering. Since you brought up the point that Hmongs outvote African Americans like 10-1. I'm wondering, is Jan's reaching out to the Hmong community. He is Asian. That was pointed out to me by somebody in the Hmong community. And at that time, he had not reached out to at least one major Hmong group, political group. And I found that interesting. So I don't know if Jazz is working under the assumption that it's a lock for him, but I won't be voting for him. I agree with the first caller, but I think he and Dyer are two sides of the same coin. So I just wanted to say that, and I'm going to just listen to everybody else.
We thank you for your comments. You know, our other caller had brought in, I'm just going to read these statistics real quick. The fourth leading cause of death for black males is by the hands of officers. In Fresno, 146 police involved death occurred between 2001 and 2018. It has cost the Fresno taxpayers $30 million in lawsuits. Does RDA have a responsibility to prosecute police who commit murder? If so, why haven't any of them been prosecuted? Can we trust Jan or Dyer? Can we trust them in a corrupt system where they let killers go free? This type of leadership has caused the city to be even more divided, as the current power structure has proven time and time again, that black lives, brown lives, young lives, and our most vulnerable lives do not matter to them. This is where we are as a city right now. We're losing big, big money because of bad leadership from the top down. And no one wants to talk about the dollar cents.
You know, one of the top public safety concerns is, to me, where they've done the injustice with, as far as public safety, is if you cannot trust the people who are charged to protect and serve, then you're going to underreport crimes. You're going to not go out and report details of things you've seen. So with them not prosecuting these officers that go and kill, they're sending a double standard. Well, they won't even prosecute this officer. So why should I? They won't even prosecute this officer. So why? How can I trust them? You know, how can I trust the police? I've known cases where people were getting shot at, and they called the police to report that they were getting shot at, and every single individual in that car was arrested. Not the ones that were doing the shooting, the ones that were being shot at. These young people had no gun residue. They had no weapons in the car. They had no drugs.
Not under the influence of the type of drugs.
Mm-hmm. But yet they arrested individuals who were being shot at. They called the police. And I'm pretty sure that there's callers out there, there's people out there listening to this show that can talk about similar situations where they've called the police to protect and serve. They were willing to say, hey, this is what happened. This is who was shooting at me. And it goes, it falls on deaf ears. And in actuality, they're risking their safety and their freedom by even reporting it. So you talk about a breach of public safety. We can't trust the people that is trying to protect and serve us. How can you have public safety when we can't trust the people that are supposed to protect and serve, when we cannot rely on them to solve murders and find murderers? Just in one complex alone over in Northwest Fresno off of Fruit and Ashland, they have three unsolved murders in the last 8 months in the same complex. You got spot. If you put spot shooters in the hot neighborhoods or the neighborhoods with a lot of gun activity, you would think that you could find the people that's doing the shooting. you know, with whatever research you can get from that spot shooter. Because if that spot shooter can't give you the data or whatever you need to zero in on the shooter, then it's just an expensive toy.
Right. Not
it's true. Like having a walkie-talkie.
We're gonna bring in 1379. 1379. Welcome to the show. 1379.
Come on, let me go out.
1379. All right, maybe they just listening. All right, 9637 96. 3-7, welcome to the show. Do you have any comments?
9-6-3-7.
9-6-3-7.
Is that me?
Yes.
Hello?
Oh, yes.
Sorry, I haven't ever listened in on something like this before. Well, I'm a young person here in Fresno, and I've grown up, like, as one of these young people that you talk about, you know. A young man out trying to do something is, like, 7 times more likely to die than, like, a firefighter or a police officer in the line of duty. And I very much, all my life, like, have lived in the community, you know. And that brought me to a greater awareness of the world around me. And so I looked out and looked up all the histories and such, and I'm still looking into all of the stuff around me because I just want to understand the world. And I look around and I see the other people around me, and everybody is just so apathetic and numb, as you say. But, like, I don't think this is right. And so I have to look at what solutions or what efforts already exist in my community. And I didn't hear about you running for mayor or even about any of the corruption that Dyer has or any of these major problems that exist until, you know, very recently. In fact, I haven't heard of you until today, and I decided to listen into this radio show. And I hear you speaking a lot about the conditions of the world around us, you know, about essentially how we are presented with, you can either have cancer type A or cancer type B, you know, while the solutions are never given to us, never presented. We're never presented a leader that actually genuinely cares about us, the people, because we're not in the people, in what they consider the people, in the elite or so on. And I just kind of want to know what it is that you, what is your alternative? What is the solution that you're presenting here in a different change, not only in how you govern, but how you get people involved in governing, you know, because again, people my age are just genuinely uninterested, just genuinely disillusioned and have no faith. What is it that you would try and change?
You bring up a lot of good points that I even talk to my colleagues and my church members and, you know, just talking to people, you know, having a cup of coffee is, you know, the world is in a mess. Every city across the country is in a mess. Every state is in a mess right now. We have a president that's now trying to pass legislation from a national level to authorize police to arrest homeless people that's sleeping on the sidewalk, right? So what does that do for our economy, right? That's going to fit. So now I understand why they're building the new jail here in Fresno now. It's because they want to fill it up. And so, you know, my approach is telling people that everyone has a right to be at the table. I don't care if you're black, brown, white, yellow, Barney, Big Bert, Nosy. It doesn't matter if you're gay, you're lesbian, whatever. You have a right to be at the table. The process in Fresno, since I've been here 49 years, is that there's only selected people allowed to come to the table. So people who want to be part of the process or part of the problem, they're not even allowed to come and sit and talk in dialogue. So when you ask me, well, what is different? Well, what's different about me is I believe people should be at the table, because I don't believe that one person has the answer to all the problems in Fresno. It has to be done on a collective level of people being invited to come and being treated with dignity and respect. It's not about just people coming to the table with neckties on all the time and briefcases all the time. It's not about people who has a master's degree or a bachelor's degree, and that's great that people work for that, but yet we have everyday people who are being excluded from being at the table. And that, and we have to understand that we have to stop talking at one another and start talking with one another. Because the younger generation really don't care about what's going on. But the problem is that if the younger generation don't get involved, those at the top are going to be making all the decisions. My philosophy is we build from the bottom up, not the top down. And many people don't like that. It makes people uncomfortable because they're saying, well, I'm the elected official. I'm the one voted in. You should listen to me and do what I tell you. No, that's not how it works. It's a democracy here. People have a right to be part of their community. People have a right to be part of the process to help make positive change in the community. Many people didn't like the Black Panther Party. Why would you not like the Black Panther Party when they were doing for themselves and their community? But America painted them with a brush to say that they were thugs and hooligans. They were very educated young men and women. You see what I'm saying?
And yeah, so, I really get you, and I really agree with all that. But the people in power want to stay in power, and so they always are trying to put us down, like how you were saying about they're building another prison. They're building another prison to put our kids away, you know. All the way back, like, into the 13th Amendment, you know, abolishment. They put a clause in there so they could find a way to keep us locked up and keep us oppressed. And if you, throughout the entire history of Black leadership, you cannot mention anybody without also mentioning the FBI, you know. It's been a constant war, like entire generation of leadership, either assassinated, ran out the country, or suppressed, and so on. Like, by me calling you right now, I'm probably on some kind of list right now. I'm probably going to be put on a monitored or whatever. But at this point in my life, I just have the strangest affliction of not being able to keep my mouth shut about this kind of stuff.
Good.
And you know, and you're the exact person, gentleman, citizen, that's needed right now for the change. I mean, y'all may hear me tonight. I may die tonight. So what's going to happen tomorrow? We need folks like you to step up. We need folks like the folks around me to keep going. See, what happened when Dr. King got assassinated, the movement stopped. The movement should have kept going.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? When the Black Panther Party got assassinated, the movement stopped. It should have kept going, right? Mm-hmm. But what happened, but see, even in Fresno, there's a four-letter word that I'm going to tell you tonight. It's not a cuss word. There's a lot of cuss words, four letters. But my point is there's a four-letter word that has people numb in Fresno. The reason I use the word numb is because I went to the dentist, and I was scared of the dentist. Well, I'm still scared of the dentist, but it's for a good reason. And I go, I'm nervous, I sit in his chair, he puts my head back, my eyes are closed, I'm gripping the seat real hard, I don't know where he's going to touch. He said, open your mouth, I open my mouth. And he starts filling in my mouth, and then he takes this needle, and he pushes it into my jaw. And then I feel my jaw start numbing up, getting hard. I couldn't. He came back and says, okay. He takes this little drill. digging in that teeth, trying to get that what is that thing called, a nerve. He's digging, and all of a sudden, that nerve wasn't dead. He hit it, and I jumped out of the seat. Well, my phone jumped out of the seat. My body was still there, and it's him. My point is that tooth wasn't numb. And then he took another needle, and he went right down in the middle of it. He said, yeah, I'm going to numb it this time. And then when he numbed it the second time, he took that drill and he started digging. And I didn't feel anything. Here's my point to all of those listening on live stream across the country. Our people are numb because they have done so much to us to the point to where it's like, I don't care. You can't buck City Hall. No one is going to listen to me. And it's like, because we're numb, we keep allowing this stuff to keep going. And like you said, brother, I got to say something. Because if you don't say nothing, who's going to say it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that's why, you know, when Dr. King got assassinated, Megan Evers got assassinated, and like you said, all the freedom fighters got assassinated. Here in America, not in Japan, not in Italy, here in America, all the people who were fighting for what's right got assassinated with the help of J. Edgar Hoover and this government that we're dealing with today. It's the same government.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't stand for our children and the next several generations, then what the hell good is we for here today? That's the question that I ask people. If you can't stand up now for your children and your grandchildren and your nieces and for your damn self, what good is you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what good is we today? You know, we have to start building. We have to be builders, man. We got to go in and start investing in one another. I'm not upset. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to inject something that I don't know if this young man has done research, so he probably knows this, but for the listeners who don't, I just want to add that if it were not for young people in past generations picking up that fight and being willing to get out there in the street with the water hoses and the dogs and the police batons and the police horses, we would not have pushed as far as we did at that time. There were children marches all through the South and all through the North for equal rights and human rights. And why were the children out there? Why were they striking from school? Because their parents could not. Their parents were at work. Their parents could lose their jobs. The children were out there on the front lines. So this is not a new thing. Children have fought and won wars. Young people have fought and won wars. So I'm not, you know, it's hard for me being an old head who's seen all these things, who've seen my cousins get shot because they were Panthers, who've seen, you know, my cousin's record store, you know, almost get lit on fire in the middle of a riot. I've seen all these things, and I know without young people, we are not going to be able to push forward and maintain any kind of dignity for the future. So we need him. We can't afford for them to be anesthetized and numb. We need them to be engaged and have a sense of unity. Think back on your ancestors. Listen to your ancestors, my brother, and know that this is doable. People power is the best kind of power. This is the power that the white power structure is counting on you not to fight against. They're counting on your inertia. So you have to counter that with action. And even if you feel like you're the voice in the wilderness, you got to keep going. Whatever they throw at you, keep going. Whatever they say to you, keep going. So I just want to say that.
We thank you for that encouragement. We have 2693. I'm just checking in and welcoming you to our show, 2693. If you have a comment, maybe you're just listening, 2693, going once, going twice. Okay, they're just listening. Okay, we got 6505, welcome to the show. Maybe you're just listening, have a comment, 6505. Going once, going twice. Okay, maybe they're just listening. Okay, all right, we're going to go up here. I just want to honor all the callers right now. 3714, welcome to the show. Are you just listening? Have a comment. 3714. Once, twice. Okay, great. 5214. You have a comment? Anything? Thank you. Going once, going twice. Okay, they're just listening. Also, I just want to acknowledge everyone that's on the live stream right now. I just want to thank you for your love. Thank you for your encouragement. It means so much to me. A lot of you know I've been on the line for about 40 years now. I ran with the best, Jesse Jackson, Sharpton, and all of them. And, you know, I've learned a lot over the years. And one of the things that I've learned is that to do for self will be a slave. And slave days are over with. It's time for us to step up, tighten our belt up, get on the edge of our seat, be counted, let people know that we're in the house and that this is our house, our community. And you always hear the police department talk about, oh, we're going to take back the community. No, you're not taking nothing from us, okay? We have had 400 years of thievery and theft from us. So we're going to take back our community. We're going to take back our children. We're going to take back what is owed to us right now that was stolen from us. And so, you know, I'm just a person who really like to bring people together and really like to network and really like to, and our brother said something that I spoke on the other night on the show, is that what is the solution? Let's talk about solutions, okay? Because I think we can always talk about the problem and cry and, you know, moan and groan, and that's good in its own context, but we have to then come say, okay, so what, how can we deal with this problem? What's needed to deal with this problem? How can we find a solution? Is there a solution? Who do we need to talk to? Those are the type of conversations that I want to be having with people, bringing people into the fold about what's going on. Is police brutality going to be here? Is it going to leave tomorrow? I don't think so. But I believe that through education, through Know Your Rights or Confronted by Police Officers, through teaching people how to file complaints against the police, how to document, how to cop watch, how to be able to engage people who just say, hey, man, you know what? Yeah, okay, the police messed me over, but, you know, ain't no need to be saying anything because nothing is going to happen. No, you have to say something. You have to get a track record of what's going on. Listen, Dr. King, and I don't think people really understand what I'm about to tell you. When I say understand the magnitude of what I'm about to say, you know, we sit here today driving cars and Dodge Rams and Mercedes and whatever, Lexus and whatever, you know, we're living large, we're living in big houses, smaller houses, you know, we're doing our thing. But it was a once upon a time in America, black people did not have the right to vote. I mean, I don't think people really understand when I say do not have a right to vote, that what that means is that in the U.S. Constitution, that black people were looked upon as 3/5 of a human being. Now, I like Eileen, who, if I say anything wrong, for her to jump in and correct me, please. But we were looked upon as 3/5 of a human being, being equal to less than an animal. okay?
True.
Even then, moving up all the way from the 1800s to the 1900s to where black people was able to acquire land, all right? Now, we had a show about this a couple of weeks ago about farming and land. And it came out that the USDA that was created by white people at the time, during that era, was really plantation owners at the time. Now, black people inherited land or got land after slavery, and they were trying to farm their land. But they needed money. They needed resources. That was our brother was talking about today. We need to find resources and solutions. Well, our ancestor solution was to go to the government, who did them wrong, but go to them and try to get a loan so that they could do their farming on their land. Well, the USDA, which was heavily stacked with white men and plantation owners, willfully did not give black people loans in Mississippi. So that they could not be able to be, again, do for self or be a slave. They were trying to do for themselves in Mississippi in the time of the 1800s and the 1900s, and the USDA refused to give them loans so that they could farm their land, but the USDA gave 99% loans out to white farmers. So when we hear people use this terminology, oh, why don't you just stop whining and pull yourself up from your bootstraps? It's criminal because our ancestors was trying to provide for their families and they were robbed and raped. And it gets deeper than that, not that they denied them the loans. Then they couldn't farm the land and pay the taxes on the property. Then the people, the big ranchers and the farmers and the plantation masters went and purchased the land on the tax land.
Right.
And then black people lost all their land in the South. Now, the black people who wanted to stay and fight it out, then the Ku Klux Klan came in.
Tell it.
On their white horses and their white capes, and then turn around, killed some of them, and all our black people flee from the South. So when we start talking about farming today, understand a lot of these farmers right now has land that's been stolen from our ancestors. I mean, we're living in a time right now where those farms are supposed to have been passed down to us today.
That's right. That's how you build wealth.
And it was not passed down to us today because it was stolen by some thugs.
Say that.
So, you know, so people say, you know, Harris, you know, why do you always have to talk about the past? I mean, why not talk about the past?
The past creates our present, and our present creates the future.
Exactly, my brother. I tell people, I don't use the past to be trying to go out and beat up white. Hating white people is a waste of our time.
We don't got time to hate. We got work to do.
We got bigger things to deal with, like trying to build unity and wealth with one another. You know, we have a lot of white friends. I mean, down white friends. I mean, more downer than black people in Fresno. I'm talking about white folks that will speak up to their own to check them if they get out of line with us. Okay? I mean, so when you talk about 1921 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where black people built an entire city. I mean, there are over 40 cities built across America after slavery were all burnt down by the Ku Klux Klan. And our ancestors built their homes. They built their stores. They built their movie theaters. They built their farmland. They had airplane runways. They had pharmacies, just everything, and it was all burnt down. And over 1,200 people were massacred in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tulsa, Oklahoma, supposed to have been passed down to us today. I mean, it just gets so. But see, I use this information as motivation. That's what I do. I teach our Freedom School children and our babies. We teach them to motivate them, you know, so that they will understand that you cannot let hit. Listen, when I seen the fire department hosing black people down, and you said it yourself, Aileen, you came through the 1960s in San Francisco and Oakland. You seen what happened.
I did.
But we have to take that information and make sure that we pass that down to our children. Now, getting back to our topic, we kind of got off topic, but I like talking about history. Y'all know that. We're still at the point right now. I don't know, is our sister still on the line? Do you have any more statistics for us right now? I know you were talking about 2001 and 2018, that 146 police-involved deaths occurred between 2001 and 2018 that cost Fresno taxpayers $30 million in lawsuits. I don't even know what $30 million looked like.
It really is a war. These murders, they range. They range from a 20-month-old young child, that, not as far as police murders, but unsolved murders, 20-month-old child, a senior citizen, someone from the transgender community that was murdered, Edison High School baseball player on his way to Fresno City College, you know, to have a career there with baseball, life ended, murder unsolved. And then all the way back to 15 years ago when the three brothers were murdered in Southeast Fresno, and still to this day, their murders have gone unsolved, $50,000 reward. But in relation to police in killing, 82% of the murders that were committed by officers or officer-involved shooting that led to death, 82% of them were people of color. Even though African Americans only make up 5% of the population in Fresno, they accounted for 22% of those who were murdered in an interaction with an officer.
So where is the accountability?
Higher for Hispanic.
Thank you, Agent Carter. Thank you so much for your love. Appreciate it. We have Janice Sumner on the line, live stream, watching us. They even talk about their family member, our family member that died. Our sister, they're still unsolved, you know, but yet we got all these spot shooters everywhere, but yet we got all these brand new police cars, yet we got all these, you know, buying military tanks and stuff to drive down the community. But then when you look at our parks that Dyer voted down, which I don't even understand, how is that Dyer is in law enforcement and he has influence over the parks? Can someone explain that to me?
Well, it was the police union that pushed hard on it, because it was told to several of us at a community meeting that he would have voted for it, but the police department was not getting the lion's share of the funding. And because of that reason, he voted no, and his police union voted no. And that's why he could not support Measure P. If it had been a 60-40 kind of deal, he might have could have went for it, but it wasn't.
So basically, again, we're basing this. We're basing the
safety and health of the people.
Safety and health of the people, were basing this off money that they felt they should have gotten. It wasn't fair. So the police union, and I'm pretty sure a lot of them don't even live in 93706, that has the highest concentration of poverty in the world, next to Katrina. And so the children suffer because the police union and Chief Dyer decides with their white privilege that we're going to vote this down and we're going to put money up to fight it and et cetera. See, that's the stuff that bothers me. That's the stuff that bothers me, because it's like, you know, West Fresno built Fresno. Okay? Mm-hmm. Like it or not, West Fresno built Fresno. Okay? But now when you look at West Fresno, we're the tails of two cities. We're the tail. North Fresno is the head. Okay? I'm tired of it. I'm sick and tired of it. You know, you go to Inspiration Park off of Gettysburg and Shaw area over there. State of the art. I mean, state of the art. They got a Boys and Girls Club there. They got the water that come out of the ground. They got brand new swings and this and that and basketball courts and artificial turf and this and that. You come over here to Frank Age, building about to fall down, grass dead, no renovation. Okay, go to Ivy Center, same thing. It's just no one wants to invest back into the older communities. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it.
You know, Ramirez, the thing is that instead of them investing in Southwest Fresno, they want to gentrify it and take it away from people who have been there, like my mom, for over 60 years. They want to take it. Now, they have siphoned off general fund monies from Southwest Fresno for 40, 50 years. And now, instead of them investing with infill development in older neighborhoods, now they're just kind of like, okay, well, we'll just gentrify. My mother gets offers at her house every single day to sell her property. That did not happen 5-10 years ago, but it's happening now. And it's not just her. It's many people in Southwest Fresno. So they want it now, because with high-speed rail, it's going to be a very desirable area. They're going to buy it cheap. They're going to sell it high, renovate and sell it high, and there you go. Same thing happened in Oakland, California. Same thing happening in most urban cities throughout America. But when do we say, no, we're going to keep our land, we're going to renovate our own property, we're going to pass it on to our children? That is how you build wealth, is with property ownership. So we have a choice. We can get out and vote. All of us who are living in Fresno, who live south of Shaw, we can vote to make a difference. And if we don't vote, then shame on us.
United
shame on
stand,
us.
United we stand, divided we fall. United we stand, divided we fall. We have to understand that going into 2020. It's not about me. I keep telling everybody, it's not about me. It's not about me. I don't get paid to do what I do. Listen, I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning. It's now 10:04, and I'm doing this radio show. Why? Because I love our community, I love our people, and I want our people to have a voice. That's why I do what I do. And money has nothing to do with it. And when we get to the point to where we feel that every time we turn around, I mean, it's good to have money. I ain't going to lie. I'm not going to lie. But it's interesting to me, people who get the money is people who's not doing nothing. But the people who need the money, the people who need the money is the people who don't get it. I mean, just look at what happened with the TCC.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that $70 million was earmarked for 93706. The money wouldn't have came to Fresno if it had not been for the 93706. But look what happened when the money got here. the mayor, Swearington, and everybody, you know, she had it set up who was going to get what cut, what piece, and this and that and that and this. And majority of the black organizations, their proposals got thrown out. Reason I know, because Fresno Freedom School proposal got thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
But the $70 million did not really come to West Fresno. Some little piece did, but not the majority of it.
Mm-mm.
This is the thievery that's going on in our community that our people needs to know about what's going on here in Fresno. Well, listen, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Please go back and listen to the show again. Read the statistics that's up there that we talked about today. Appreciate all the compliments. And if you want to donate to our campaign, I'm going to let our sister give you, if you want to write a check, a money order, or whatever. Can you tell them what they need to write to support our campaign?
Friends of Floyd D. Harris Jr. for Mayor.
Friends of Floyd D. Harris Jr. for Mayor. Friends.
Yes.
All right. Friends. I'm your friend, okay? E.T. say friends to the end. All right. Okay. And inbox me. I'll send you the address where you can send it to. And so we're just going to go out like that tonight. Thank all of y'all. Thank our callers who called in. We love you guys. There's going to be a debate January
30th or 31st, one of them.
30th.
I believe January 30th at Fresno City College. Right? Fresno City College.
Yes.
And I believe next Wednesday I'm going to be on a radio show. Was it Tuesday?
Yes, on the 8th.
On the 8th.
Wednesday the 8th, yes.
From 5 to 6, I believe, 88.1 FM. We'll be getting all that information out. And so, like I said, hey, we're gonna do it moving. And so I just want to thank all of y'all. I got to go. I got to eat dinner. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. You see my eye going like this, going to sleep. But anyway. Hey, Kamisha, appreciate y'all. Appreciate everybody on the board. 333-714, thank you. 3366, thank you. Janice, thank you for tuning in tonight. We really appreciate you. Denise, thank you. Tamika, thank you. Janice, thank you. Sherry, thank you. Rochelle, thank you. Man, there's so many people. Adrian, thank you. Carter, thank you. Ron McGee, my man at work. Thank you, Milton. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Shonda. Thank you, Rashonda. Thank you, Sherry, Howard, Cousin Kemp, Serena. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Denise, Odell, Mount Pleasant. Thank you, Eddie. Serena. Thank you, my cousin Sean from Colorado. Rika. Thank you. Love y'all. Linda, thank you. Antoinette, thank you. Lily, thank you. Shelly, thank you. Brown, thank you. Young in the house. Williams in the house. Ann in the house. Teresa, thank you. Marina, thank you. Linda, all the way from North Carolina. Miller, thank you. Stephanie, thank you. My boy Glenn Miller. Christina, thank you, girl. Linda again, Crystal, revolutionary, all right, Pamela, okay, Bertis, thank you, appreciate you tuning in tonight, Nicole, appreciate y'all, love, Keisha, thank you, woo, Kathy Davis from Oakland, Pamela, Jack, thank you, all right, Raheem, thank you, Kevin, thank you, support, Shirley, woo, a lot of people on the air tonight. Let's see, honey, thank you, Merlin, Sharon, Wendy, Smith, thank you, Love y'all. Kimberly, all right. Okay, I got to go eat, y'all. Appreciate y'all. We'll see y'all next week. Pray for me. Pray for our campaign team. Pray for our Freedom School. My son is here from the South, and we'll be speaking to the Freedom School kids. And we need y'all support. We need y'all financial support as well, because we need to purchase some things for the campaign. All right, I'm out. Peace. Power to the people. Your boy Harris is out.